Glad that I wasn't a squirrel this weekend. Seems like we get a lot of extra squirrels around the trees around the church during this time when season opens. I think they know what's coming. We got some good news during the week. I visited with the nephew of Father Verbis Lafleur. Father Verbis was baptized, had his first communion, and was confirmed here in this church parish. He was born in 1912, and they left as a family in 1925 to move to Opelousas, but his first three sacraments right here in this church parish. And he eventually entered the seminary, became a priest, spent a little time in Abbeville as an associate, and then went off to be a military chaplain in the army during World War II. And he, along with many other POWs, were caught, captured, became POWs, and they were put in the hull of a ship and sent to another island for a work detail, and the Americans didn't know that that ship was filled with Americans in the hull of it, and they torpedoed it, and it sank. But one Japanese soldier opened up the hatch at the top to allow some of the men to escape, and he was promptly shot by his fellow soldiers. But Father Verbis started helping men to go through the hatch, and they kept saying, "Come, Father, come." He said, "No, I'll be last. I have to help as many men as I can." And he did that, and he went down with the ship. So that was just one final act of sacrifice, which was a long line of many other sacrifices that he had performed in the concentration camp. They would get a handful of rice a day, and he would give his rice away to the sick soldiers, POWs. And because of his incredible works of mercy there in the concentration camps, 200 men became Catholic just while there through his incredible example. And then his final and ultimate sacrifice was given one of the great medals of honor by the country and so forth. And we're hoping that he will be canonized one day as a saint. His nephew, Richard Lafleur, lives in Opelousas, and I was able to visit with he and his wife Carol during the week. They told me a lot about the story, and there is a hardback book, But He Dies Not. I just finished reading it. It's very beautiful. And they offered to give us one of the two models of that big artwork that they have in front of St. Landry Church, a 15-foot statue outside. It's a picture of Father Verbis helping one of the men through the hatches. And they have a 2-foot, a 4-foot model, and they offered us either one of those, and I think we'll go with the 2-foot one and put it on top of the Marian Tabernacle over there. Should fit just right. But even better news, they told me about his chalice. Every priest has a chalice, kind of like your wedding ring for a married couple. And I vaguely remembered that Carl Beekman had received that chalice. Father Verbis's nephew was a priest, Father Will Sylvester. And Carl Beekman was a seminarian from Illinois, came to live down here, ex-Marine, and entered the seminary here. I became Catholic first, entered the seminary. Father Will said, "Here, you don't have a chalice? This is Father Verbis's chalice. It's yours. I want it to be used, not stay in a museum." And so eventually he went into the seminary, or he was in the seminary then, went to St. Ben's. But then he decided to go back to Illinois, to his home diocese. So, of course, took the chalice with him. It was his. And so I called him because he was with me one summer in Delcombe as a seminarian. And I had his phone number, and I called him and I said, "Hey, you know, the Fleurs would like to send you this book about Father Verbis, and just kind of reconnect with the priest that has the chalice." And immediately said, "What, y'all want the chalice?" So as we talked more and more, he said, "Well, I need to learn detachment, so I'm going to give it to Sacred Heart Church Parish." So the Lafleurs are driving up mid-month to go and pick up Father Verbis's chalice. It is coming home. It'll be here as part of this parish and be used for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So I think it's a great thing, and I hope to continue to develop this devotion to him. Seems like there's been more of it in Opelousas, where he was ordained, and then in Abbeville, where he was a young priest. So maybe here we need to do a little bit more. At Queen of All Saints Parish, they do have a picture of him in that mural, one of the murals. They do have a picture of him. But I thought of his story for this weekend, which is Respect Life Sunday, because I think he's a great example of the seamless garment aspect. One of the cardinals in America had said, pro-life cause is really a seamless garment. Remember, Jesus had a seamless garment that the soldiers threw dice for so that they could win it, take it. The Pope was just in the country of Georgia, north of Turkey and south of Russia, and he was at a church that was believed to have been built over the spot where that seamless garment was buried, supposedly. But the seamless garment aspect of the pro-life cause is that from the womb to the tomb, we have to respect life, right? From the very beginning to the final end. And it's the culture of life versus the culture of death. And that was the culture of death that the prophet Habakkuk in our first reading was preaching about. He said, "All I see is violence, destruction, strife, and contention, Lord. When will this end?" And God said, "The vision has its time. It will be fulfilled. Have faith. Trust in me." Basically what Jesus said too. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, great things would happen. So I'd like to just go through that whole seamless garment from the beginning to the end and show you how respect for life is an aspect that goes throughout that lifespan. From the very beginning, we believe in the natural conception of children between husband and wife, not outside of the womb, so no in vitro and that kind of thing, but within the womb. And of course, against stem cell research that kills the embryo, we can't do that. We can't kill one person to help another, right? Adult stem cells have been doing wonderful things already, very little with the embryonic stem cells, so it's not even helpful. And then with the birth of the child and the child in the womb, this is just a little plastic model of what a little 11 to 12 week old baby would look like, the size. Already they have detected from 18 days from conception, you're talking about a very small human being, already they have detected a heartbeat. Brain waves from the 40th day from conception. She squints at this point. She swallows and she can make a fist. She has fingerprints and she can kick. She is sensitive to heat, touch, light, and noise. She sucks her thumb and all body systems are working. She weighs about 1 ounce and fits comfortably in the palm of your hand. And as technology gets better and better, the pictures get better and better, we'll even be able to see as the smaller and smaller and smaller little human being, the fingers and toes and so forth, sucking their thumb at even earlier and earlier ages, right? So these are human beings, and we have to protect them. If the womb is not a safe place on planet Earth, there ain't no safe place on planet Earth, right? That should be the safest of all. And we're doing about 3,000 abortions a day in this country, 50, 60 million since 1973. That's been recorded, certainly more than that. And that's just in our country, right? And so it's a terrible plague that has to be stopped before God stops the whole thing, right? When is God going to be just fed up and say no more? We have to make a change in this culture of ours. And of course there is forgiveness for anybody who has been involved in an abortion, the men and the women. Even the doctors, so-called doctors, who have done tens of thousands of abortions, some of them have converted to our faith and to the pro-life cause. It's like the grace of God touches them at some point in their life and they realize I've done a lot of bad things. And even they have been forgiven. So anybody can be forgiven. Anybody can come to healing. And we have Project Rachel in our Catholic Church to help women and men who have been involved in that to be healed and to come to a new life in Christ. And it goes all the way down the line, taking care of the children, not abusing them, obviously, and respect for marriage, the family, the poor, the immigrant, the handicapped, for all respect for all different colors and races, and against a necessary war. And for the end of life issues, we're against the death penalty because we have plenty of prisons to take care of holding people from harming the rest of society. We're against euthanasia, the killing of the elderly, whether voluntarily or involuntarily. We do have to provide food and water for them, even in a persistent vegetative state, until their bodies actually cannot take it anymore. Sometimes the body starts to even reject that. So, but if you have any questions on any of those pro-life issues, ask the priest to get, you know, some of the details about some of the very sticky cases where it can be very difficult to understand it. So one of the great weapons that we do have is the Rosary. October the 7th is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. It's a great weapon. Our Lady said in one apparition that when we're praying the Rosary, it's like we're chaining up the devil. The Book of Revelation talks about the devil being chained for a period of time. And so when we pray the Rosary, we're just circling him around with that chain of the Rosary, and it's making him less and less capable of doing his terrible things in the world. So let us definitely pray that Rosary every day. Meditate on the life of Christ through the eyes of our wonderful Blessed Mother. So let me conclude with a great pro-life prayer, the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. October 4th, Tuesday, is his feast day. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. That is the pro-life cause in a nutshell. Amen.